So in this first session, we will be seeking to look at free speech and how Christians are increasingly being silenced, or the attempts to silence them. And then the second session after the coffee tea break, we'll be looking at faith seed, what that actually means and how we need to be warned that that isn't God's way of provision. God has a far better way of providing for his people. Praise be to his name. Will you turn with me, please, in the Bibles to the second letter of Peter and chapter 3. To Peter and chapter 3. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the heat, both the earth and the works that are in it, will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you also know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So, in that chapter, we have our Lord's promise that he is not slack. He's not slack concerning his promises. It mentions about the day of the Lord. And then finally, it talks about you and I as believers to remain steadfast, to remain firm in our faith. And this was obviously, it was exercising the Apostle Peter's mind. He said, well, you know these things. You know that the day of the Lord is coming. You know that there will be a judgment, but you also are amongst those who are longing for his appearing. As Paul says, looking for, loving the appearing of the Lord, because that is when salvation will be completed. Hallelujah for all believers. But you see, in verse 17, he says, since you know all this, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. And that is a prayer that we should regularly be praying for ourselves, for our loved ones, for the members of the fellowships which we represent, that we will not fall away, that we will not fall from the steadfastness, that which we have believed, which is certain and sure, the promises of God. Peter, as indeed Paul and our Lord Jesus and others, would not write these things if there was not a possibility that the enemy might steal from us, that we might be tempted away from the truth. That's one reason why very much we had on our hearts these answers in prophecy sessions, so that we would be encouraged not to stand for truth, and that we would not be taken captive by the enemy or by seducing spirits. And of course, we all know that the best way that we can remain faithful to the Lord God and his truth is not so much concentrating on what is wrong. We need, obviously, if we're going to avoid it, to know what is counterfeit, but more importantly, concentrate on the good, the right, on Jesus Christ himself. The cross of Jesus is central to all that we believe and think. Hallelujah. So free speech, silencing Christians. Throughout the Western world, Christianity, as we know, is increasingly coming under attack. Religious freedom is being curtailed, and Christianity is under direct assault. I don't think there's any question about that in this country, the UK, in America, and others. There's this secular and liberal agenda at work, which, of course, is orchestrated by the enemy of the church, your enemy and mine, the enemy of God. And so we are, I believe, moving toward a situation where to state our own opinions may become something more difficult. We will be told what is acceptable and what opinions are not acceptable. And it does appear to me that many Christians, as I read articles and see letters, etc., that many Christians are becoming increasingly fearful. They're fearful of the climate that we are now living in, and which probably will get worse. They're fearful of a climate that makes fun of Christianity, that mocks Christianity, and targets all Christians as being fundamentalists and intolerant. They're becoming fearful of it. And I would hope, and I'd like to think, that if we encourage each other in the word of the Lord, we will not be ones who are fearful, but rather see it as opportunities, the days when we are being silenced, days of opportunity to let the light of the Lord shine through us, so that others who are fearful, because the word of God definitely says, as the things come about which in these end days, many hearts will fail them through fear, that they will see the hope of the Lord, the light of the Lord in us, that we will be able to point them to Jesus Christ himself and his word, and turn from their fear, turn from the darkness, turn from their sin to the living light. But increasingly, we will be called and labelled amongst the Islamic terrorists even as hatefuls of tolerance and that we are fundamentalists. Just recently, I think it was about, not this week, but last week, 50 Christian leaders from across England and Wales wrote to the Daily Telegraph, you may know, to warn that the government's proposed extremism disruptive orders, That is EDOs, and you'll be hearing in the coming months a lot more about EDOs. Extremism, disruptive orders, would be a disaster for the church. This is what they wrote, that's what they said. And they took this step because EDOs threaten gospel freedom. The government's proposals are really quite vague, that almost anyone could fall foul of them. And as the former head of MI5 said, harmless evangelicals will be among them. Not sure if evangelicals should be harmless. But anyway, yeah. I mean, even in the Prime Minister's speech at conference this week, he, amongst many things, he said about any Sunday school that teaches more than 8 hours in a week will now have to, will be subject to strict regulation to be registered and what they're teaching, etc. Thankfully, what they had proposed at the moment has been defeated, that people such as myself, my brother, and other pastors and preachers and evangelists would all have to be registered, would all have to go on courses, and obviously the whole idea of that is so that we don't say anything hateful. Don't say anything about homosexuality, about creation, and Islam, which are the three things I'm briefly looking at tonight. Don't say anything nasty. Now, obviously, as believers, people who seek to walk in the faith, walk in the light, don't want to be nasty. The gospel offends, we shouldn't be offensive. In fact, the word of God tells us quite sincerely that we should be gentle. We should oppose, as we learnt in one of our connect groups this week, with meekness. We should defend the faith. We should present the gospel with meekness and humility, but always pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But this is the way it's going, and friends, no government is going to stop this. The Lord can intervene, hallelujah. He can slow the pace, but that's the direction of travel. And having been warned, hopefully, and knowing the scriptures, we can be men, women of faith, standing for truth, and not intimidated. That's one of the enemy's tactics, isn't it, to intimidate, bring people into fear, to intimidate us. To silence us completely. Now, I'm not one of these who goes around with placards or go to protest meetings or anything like that. But I do want to be free to speak the truth in love to whoever may be listening. Whether that's from the pulpit, whether that's on the streets, whether that's at the bus stop, amongst my family, neighbours or whatever. I don't want government or religious authorities telling me what I can or cannot say. I want to be obedient to the truth. Now that will get us into trouble, undoubtedly, in the days to come, as it already has. People who are seeking to stand for righteousness and truth, they find themselves up before the courts, behind the cell doors and so on. Not a pleasant thought, but our brothers and sisters have been doing that in North Korea, Pakistan, India, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and many other places for a long, long time. And I think it's the West turn now. What I do know, what I take comfort in, if and when we are pulled up before the court, say Jesus says, "Don't worry, I'll give you the words to speak." Okay, but what I do know is that the believers, the Christians, the persecuted, the suffering church overseas will very much be praying for us. Do we pray enough? Do we stand with our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted for their faith? As I often say, and you read the literature and so on, you look at their testimonies of these wonderful men and women who are being persecuted and some losing their lives for their faith. They never pray, "Get me out of this. Help me to remain steadfast. Help me to remain faithful to the end. Help me to be a good witness to those who are tormenting me." That's the grace of the Lord. I don't know how I would be, but what I do take heart from, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient for the day. Praise be to his name. Praise be to his name. So Christians, even today in the UK, are being arrested for expressing their concerns about homosexuality and same-sex marriage. Workers are being fired for simply quoting from the Bible. I heard of Christians who have been jailed for singing worship songs in a public park where a homosexual pride festival was being held. School kids have been threatened for daring to quote scripture, particularly in relation to creation. And that's not from their peers, it's from teachers. So a big threat to the government, and it doesn't matter what government, seems to be biblical Christians who love the truth, who love Jesus, who are prepared to stand up for their faith, who are prepared to stand up for righteousness. And of course, if we are friends, we can't do it in our own strength. How we need the Holy Spirit. We really do. We really do. We need to fall helpless in the arms of Jesus and plead with him, pour your Holy Spirit, make me bold and courageous. If not, I would just be a gnat for the devil to swallow up. But with you, Lord, with you empowering me, with your power, your strength, being made perfect in my weakness, yes, I then can do all things. I can stand for truth, come what may. And by your grace, you will get all the glory and win others to yourself. Because we will not be silenced. You see, much of the legislation seems very reasonable on the surface, doesn't it? It appears good and it will have some noble aims to it. Even to try and control the extremist terrorist views and so on. For example, some of it has good aims, but unfortunately, there's many sinister undertones beneath the surface. What is happening is that the liberal agenda is to silence believers, and of course, because believers oppose Satan. They want to thwart the works of the evil one. As Jesus Christ triumphed from the grave and displayed that he was the victorious one and Satan was a defeated foe, hallelujah, so we too share in that resurrection victory. Glory to his name. And that's why the Bible clearly says, look, as you and I submit to the Lord, as we submit to God, as we surrender our lives to him and say, Lord, yes, you must be Lord over my life. I need you every hour. We can then resist the devil and he will flee from us because there's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We believe that, don't we? That's why the government, religious people, the secularists, the humanists want to silence us. Whether it is anti-discrimination legislation or equal opportunity laws, it is, of course, getting harder for believers to freely proclaim their beliefs and values in the public arena. But hey, it can't be silenced. If it's in here, it's got to come out. One of the most insidious examples of such legislation is, of course, the so-called hate speech laws, which are being passed. These usually include sexual orientation and gender identity components within those laws, which are designed to gag all criticism of the homosexual lifestyle and same-sex marriage. So, I now pronounce you spouse and spouse. England moves ever more towards redefining marriage. We've already redefined it from what God has ordained. The Daily Telegraph reported that the word husband will in future be applied to women and the word wife will refer to men. That's what the government has decided. According to John Bingham, civil servants have overruled the Oxford English Dictionary and hundreds of years of common usage, effectively abolishing the traditional meaning of the words for spouses. In the government's proposed guidelines, husband here will include a man or a woman in a same-sex marriage, as well as a man married to a woman. In a similar way, wife will include a woman married to another woman, or a man married to a man. It's nonsensical. It's just defies. But that's, friends, that's the way it's going. And hate crime laws are being pushed by well-funded homosexual lobbyists because they want to strip us of the freedom of religious expression, the haters of God. So we're going to see that increasingly so. And one of the things which is very much on our hearts, we had the day conference several months back to stand up for family, family values, traditional families, and so on. And we want to hear from the Lord what he wants us to do in the future. But it is helping our mums, it's helping our dads, it's helping our children, helping grandparents, uncles and aunties to be able to not be defined by what the government or by what the world says, but by what the Word says. So we're still very much on our heart, because my next thing is creation. We know what is happening with brainwashing children, that homosexuality, lesbianism is normal, it's normal, than the creation. And I'm just quoting from the latest Creation Ministries International Prayer Letter, which says, "A fierce battle is being waged for the hearts and minds of our young people. Christian youth are being assaulted on every front by worldviews and beliefs that challenge the foundations of their faith. From the science classroom to the entertainment industry, they are being force-fed a steady diet of secularism and evolutionary propaganda. This narrative is so pervasive in our culture that it has essentially been protected by a wall of political correctness which stifles reasoned debate under the guise of tolerance." So that is an area which, of course, the enemy has largely succeeded. Take creation out and say it is nonsense, it could not have happened, and bring in evolution, then we can do without God. We've done without God. We've done away with good and evil. And to a large extent, he succeeded. But we must not give up. What an opportunity for church. What an opportunity for Sunday school. What an opportunity for parent groups and so on to be able to teach the children the truth and believe that God will impact the truth for good in the lives of our young people and children. We can save our generation from the lies of the devil. But creation is a hot topic. And you've only got to look on the internet, you've only got to look at certain articles in various magazines and newsletters and see how really angry and unreasonable those who oppose Christianity are, and the labels they're giving to our children for daring to speak up. I believe in Genesis 1. I believe in Genesis 2. I believe in Genesis 3. And of course, that is also infiltrating the church. Some who in the past held to God being the creator, the designer, and is indeed, as we've read in 2 Peter chapter 3, we read that chapter as we opened with, you know, he spoke and it was made. He said it was good. Hallelujah. He is the perfect creator. Hallelujah. He is the awesome God. And one day he will wrap this earth up. That's in the Word. Glory to his name. The new heaven and new earth. God is sovereign. Don't give up. Don't despair. Don't think, well, it's too big for me. Yes, it is too big for you. But with God and with a family of believers around us, we can succeed in saving this generation, this young generation, from the pit of hell and from the lies of the devil. We can. But we must be bold. We need the Holy Spirit. But we will be more and more silenced because there's an agenda at work that promotes the evolutionary thought. And of course, some of them are so well known and articulated and so on and so forth, but I have to say they're the voice of the devil. If we have the voice of the Lord, if you and I are hearing the voice of the great shepherd, truth is on our side. God is on our side. What have we to fear? If God is for us, who can be against us? But we must train up our children in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord, in the admonition of the Lord. We must get truth into them. We must help the parents. We must help the single mums, the dads, the grandparents and others to teach the truth and believe that the Holy Spirit will indeed quicken his word. He will bring his word to pass. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. The third area is Islam. Paul Weston, who was a European candidate in last year's European elections, he was arrested, as it was big news in the newspapers at the time. He was arrested during the election campaign for actually quoting Winston Churchill. And it was a speech that he wrote, Winston Churchill, when he was a comparatively young man. It was actually in his book, The River Life. No, tell me, help me. Not The River Life, it's The River Something, doesn't matter. But Paul Weston was quoting what Winston Churchill said about Islam. He was just reading it verbatim out in the streets. In fact, he was standing on the steps of Winchester Guildhall. And as I say, he was arrested. He was accused of religious and racial harassments after what he did was repeated Winston Churchill's words, warnings, if you will, on Islam. And Paul Weston said this once he'd been released. I wanted to make the point that if it's really become so bad in this country that you can no longer quote the words of the greatest living Englishman, well, we might disagree there, but never mind, then we really need to look seriously at what we can still say in this country. He went on, we don't have America's First Amendment, and speech is rapidly becoming a no-go area if you talk about certain issues. We are living in an absolute madhouse in this country with our free speech laws at the moment, he said. I think we realise that ISIS, 7 months ago now, they said that they would flood Europe with Islam, with Muslims, to promote Islamic religion. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing as the migrants, immigrants, refugees flee from Syria, flee from other countries. They're bringing Islam with them. That was their intention. That is their intention. And it's happening. And there will be a revival of so-called fundamental Islam. You and I know, and we've spoken about this, you know this very well, that their aim is the destruction of Israel, to crush Israel, and to dominate the world's political scene. Philip, in the past, has referred to Simon Altaf's book, Islam Peace or Beast. He writes, we're only too well aware that what controls the world economy is oil, and the Arab nations have plenty of it. They have the monopoly over world economies, and thus the political clout that comes with it, and will continue to do so. Wherever Islam rules, people suffer under totalitarianism. So friends, yes, persecution is coming to the West. And we must not think that we will be able to escape what so many believers and Christians are suffering throughout the world. But we do need to speak the truth in grace. We also need to heed Charles Spurgeon's warning when he says, do not set out to be divisive, but tell the truth and you will be. So why do Christians lose out? Why are their rights at the bottom of the pile? I think the answer is simple, and you know the answer. Firstly, in general, the values of Western society, and especially those within the liberal establishment who make our laws and so deem human rights are the most important are opposite, diametrical opposite of biblical teaching. It's opposite to biblical teaching. The foundations of a belief in an absolute sovereign God and the importance of the moral code that he requires have been undermined, if not completely removed. And British society as a whole has moved away from its Christian roots and turned its back on God. Is Philip will be talking about money and the collapse and all that sort of thing last week, but I'm just making an aside here because I just mentioned about human rights. But it's interesting that with Chancellor of the Exchequer, George Osborne, last week and the towing to China, and I mean that's terrible. The trade deals he's done with China, bringing them over here to, with our infrastructure, nuclear plants and so on, there's a biblical significance to that. But one minister, when he was being questioned, I don't mean a minister who stands on the pulpit, but a minister of government, one minister said when he was challenged and questioned about what George Osborne had done, he said, well, actually, trade takes precedence over human rights. Because obviously George Osborne went to certain cities and towns where free speech is totally, totally outlawed. You're jailed, you're pinned up. But he didn't, well, he said he brought it up in private. Friends, God is seeing. God sees all things. So nothing should really come as a surprise to Bible-believing Christians. There's a deeper battle going on than between the Equality Commission, for example, and the bakery in Northern Ireland, which was news. The battle is between the evil one and God and his church. You see, for the devil, there is no middle ground, no neutrality, no desire to be fair. Rather, there's just the single-minded aim of attacking the church, God's own precious people, undermining the Bible, and suppressing the Christian message. Although we pray to God to intervene on our behalf, and that we long to see revival, and I believe there will be revival in the true church, I believe in as much as there's a falling away and an apostasy within much of the professing church, there will be a revival of truth, there will be a revival of righteousness, there will be a revival of people turning to the Lord God in repentance and faith. I do believe that. But we are told that the general trend will be downwards. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Friends, we must not give in. We should certainly not despair. We must remember that God is in control. And he will say so much and no more. And we remember that those who are being tested and tempted, those who are suffering crisis, I will not allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. And I've been there before you anyway, and I'm with you now in it. Hallelujah, what a good God we serve. And throughout church history and even today across the world, many are facing terrible persecution and even death because of their Christian faith. And they were all given grace, faith, courage, and strength required to stand fast. The scripture was that we read, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever." And that's God's will for you, that's God's will for me. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Full of him, we won't have to worry. Speaking to the church in Smyrna through the Apostle John, the Lord Jesus Christ said this in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. Revelation 2 verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things say the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Friends, at times, and perhaps as we know increasingly in the days to come, as the Lord tarries, life for the true believer, life for the gospel-centered church, will become a bit tougher, maybe even painful. But we have this promise that if we stand firm, we will overcome and we will receive a reward in heaven that more than compensates for hardships here on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Britain, Christians may increasingly fear what the future holds and worry how long our dwindling liberties will last. But we should focus on the Lord Jesus. And we must take courage and hope from the same promises that were given to the church in Smyrna. Because we know that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I ask a question. Do you not think that God is able and willing to protect his people, deliver them? I think he is. He's proved that time and time again. So let us encourage each other to glorify God and do as he says, be obedient to his word. His commands are not burdensome. That we give no room to the evil one. We must speak of God and of his works. We must help others and teach others to listen, to obey his voice. But he alone gives us instructions and the Holy Spirit that will keep us safe. Hey folks, if Islam was eradicated, if somehow it just disappeared, the devil would use something else against those who believe and trust the one true God. And I also have to suggest that the evil one uses such controversies and situations to keep our minds from thinking of the one true God and his word and his deliverance in our lives. That's why we must focus on the truth. When we put our trust in God's word and trust him and talk to him throughout the day and seek to do what he tells us to do, he both can and will not only protect us, but set us in the high places, far above the principalities and the mire of this world. And he will give us the privilege of helping others to also live this blessed, overcoming life. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth." 2 Corinthians 13 verse 8. Kingdoms will come, kingdoms will go. Giant mountains may crumble in the dust. The entire physical world will be shaken one day, like it's never been shaken before. But God's word, God's truth will remain stable and firm. Be sure to stand with the truth. and not against it. Amen.